Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, if you're not watching the Olympics, maybe you're watching the hottest show on TV right now, the Netflix thriller Stranger Things. It features Winona Ryder and a bunch of little kids.
A shadow grows on the wall behind you, swallowing you in darkness. It is almost here.
What is it?
What if it's the Demogorgon? Oh, Jesus, we're so screwed if it's the Demogorgon.
It's not the Demogorgon. An army of troglodytes charge into the chamber.
Troglodytes?
Told ya.
Stranger Things premiered last month. It is ranked the most popular show on TV right now, according to Rotten Tomatoes. And joining us now is NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Hi, Eric.
Hey.
And I don't want to give away any spoilers because this show kind of came up out of nowhere and a lot of people are just catching on to it now. But give us a sense for people who haven't seen it of what the premise is.
It's it's hard to explain. So basically, there's a small town in Indiana in the 1980s, and you're introduced to this group of kids. They're kind of nerdy. They're getting razzed a little bit at school, and one of them disappears. And they also stumble on another young person about their age, and there's a sense that she has escaped from some sort of facility, and she has strange powers. And that's about as much as I can explain without giving too much away.
Well, and this show actually was rejected 15 to 20 times before it got picked up by Netflix. Why do you think, and as we said, it's now ranked the most popular show on TV, why do you think so many networks passed it over?
I think probably what happened is that it's hard to imagine how appealing this show might be until you actually see it. And the show itself is a homage to a lot of different kinds of movies and TV shows from the 80s. And so not only is it a great story, but it also is sort of wrapped up in all of these feelings of nostalgia for, what it is a homage to. I think the filmmakers have done a great job of putting together a story that feels familiar but is still unpredictable. And that's very hard to do in today's TV environment where we have all seen so much television.
Well, speaking of the 80s nostalgia, I grew up in the 80s in the Midwest, and this show is, you say, a little bit of nostalgia. It's a lot of nostalgia. Well, there are these little things that you notice that they've done with this show where, a pillow that somebody sleeps on. Well, nobody would ever have that kind of pillow now, but they certainly had it back in the 80s, or the sheets or the clothes that they're wearing. There's a lot in there.
Yeah, exactly. And if you study this stuff, that getting the small details right can lend a sense of authenticity that really makes the whole thing feel like you're stepping into a complete world. And that's what they've done so well. And it's a complete world that feels very authentic. But at the same time, you'll be watching and you say, oh, there's the reference to, E.T. or, oh, there's the reference to Close Encounters. So if you're a connoisseur of pop culture, there's a whole other level of consuming this TV show that goes beyond just enjoying the story, which you can do if you're not cognizant of all this other stuff. And that's the sign of a great TV show. It works on many different levels.
Well, let's listen to a clip here with Winona Ryder. She plays Joyce Byers. She's the mom of the boy who disappeared. And she's in this clip talking to his brother in their living room.
I should have been there for him.
No, oh no, you can't do that to yourself. This was not your fault. Do you hear me? He is close. I know it. I feel it in my heart. You have to trust me on this, okay?
Eric, what are your thoughts on Ryder's performance in this show?
She turns in a great performance here. She's a distraught mother who the town already kind of thinks is a little kooky, and she refuses to believe that her son is dead. And we're with her in those moments where we see evidence that he isn't dead. But she looks to the outside world like she's crazy. And Winona Ryder plays that very well. And again, there's that shot of nostalgia. We remember her from some of her classic roles from years ago, and it draws us into this performance in a way that maybe it wouldn't have if another actress had done it.
I have to ask you about one more thing when it comes to this show. There is a character that has become an internet sensation. She's a small character, but Barb. Let's talk about Barb, one of the nerdy best friends of one of the main female characters. Vulture published a piece called In Praise of Barb, Stranger Things Best Character. What's going on with Barb?
She, in a lot of ways, and even that Vulture piece admits that that character is kind of considered as disposable by the story. But she's also the kind of character that a lot of us who were nerdy in high school and maybe had, you know, beautiful best friends can relate to. She is a relatable character. And in a very important way, I think this show is relatable to people in that exact same way. The heroes in this show are the nerds, are the people who are kind of outcast. It's incredibly relatable in a lot of different ways, from the nostalgia to the friendships that are shown, even down to a character that's as minor as Barb.
I don't want to end this interview because I love this show so much. I just want to hear you talk more about it, but we have to. So Eric Deggans, NPR TV critic, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.